From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Money, power, hip-hop, fame. The new Fox show Empire dishes out family drama with an irresistible beat. Music mogul Lucius Lyon, played by Terrence Howard, must choose one of his three sons to take over his hip-hop kingdom. It's soap opera, it's Shakespeare, it's basically an all-black cast, and it's a breakout success. This hour, On Point, the pop culture moment inside the new hit show Empire. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are you hooked on Empire? Is this the new Dallas for the Jay-Z era? Is it more or less outrageous than hip-hop's real empires? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Three great guests with us today. Joining me now in the studio, Renee Graham, pop culture critic, former columnist for the Boston Globe. Always great to have her right here. Thanks for coming in, Renee.
Hi, Tom.
With us from New York City, Michael Arsenault is here, writer, pop culture critic, blogger. He's written a lot on this show, calls it hip-hop's best new soap opera. Michael Arsenault in New York, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
And with us from Washington, Cecilia Kong, staff writer for the Washington Post, covering the business of media and entertainment. Cecilia, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Let's hear just a little bit of this. Here's the hip-hop mogul, Lucius Lyon, Terrence Howard, opening up about his past to a boardroom full of his executives, explaining why music is at the heart of his world.
I started selling drugs when I was 9 years old in Philadelphia. I did it to feed myself. But it was the music that played in my head that kept me alive when I thought I was going to get shot. And it was the melodies that I dreamt about that kept me warm while I was sleeping in the streets.
Renee Graham, for people who haven't seen it, and many have now, the numbers are very strong on this. It just came out last month. What's the big story here? What is the story that runs through Empire?
As the show begins, Lucius Lyon, who we heard talking there, is played by Terrence Howard, is diagnosed with ALS, which people also know as Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. He has this massive company, Empire Entertainment, and he has to now decide which of his three sons is going to take over the company when he's no longer able to do it.
But he's not telling them or anybody, really, that he's got this disease, basically,
he's
right?
Just saying, you know, I'm trying to think ahead. Yeah. I need to make this decision at some point. But essentially, very few people at this point know that he's ill and that he's seriously ill.
So around that, Michael, you've got a hip-hop empire. Does it look like a realistic hip-hop empire to you, or about as realistic as the ranch on Dallas back in JR days, Michael, if you can remember those?
I actually don't. Oh, forgive me.
That's all right.
I think it's a realistic portrayal maybe of a hip-hop empire in the 1990s. I think that's one thing about the show that is interesting to watch. It kind of genre hops. It's literally like, in terms of like the story, if you put it on Spotify Shuffle, like you'll get all these different decades. That's usually what I take from the show. Like 1 minute, it reminds me of maybe Suge Knight. And then Lucius Lyon is like L.A. Reid, and then he's somebody else. It's a lot going on. So I don't know if it's like 2015, but a certain era, yeah, it gets some of it right.
The show likes to talk about King Lear as at the heart of its premise, you know. You call it soap opera. Which is it? Why soap opera, Michael?
I think it's a soap opera because, you know, one thing I've noticed about the show that just hit me before, I think for a while, in terms of, like, at least black scripted shows, they really weren't that great over the last couple of years. And a lot of them kind of like, in terms of like storytelling, people maybe debated the representation on shows like VH1's Love and Hip Hop. But in terms of telling an actual story, it worked because it's very salacious. It's very speculative. And I think finally now, scripted shows are kind of reacting to what the popularity those shows have created and have decided to make more fun. Because I think it's very much a soap opera. It's very like back and forth and kind of ridiculous. It's not really realistic. Like it's a lot of overacting, which is great to watch. But, you know, it's not. I actually said that the show Power, 50 Cent's show on Stars, which he actually complained about, that show is House of Cards and Empire's Scandal. So, you know, I don't take it as seriously, but it's so entertaining.
Cecilia Kong, as old as Shakespeare in a way, as bubbly as soap opera, but you call it revolutionary. Why, Cecilia?
Well, it's revolutionary in that there has never been a one-hour drama with a predominant black cast. And this is really part of a trend, Tom, that we're seeing in network TV, where you're seeing particularly ABC and Fox rethinking what shows resonate with their audience. They're thinking this is 2015. Mm-hmm. We're heading toward a minority-majority nation. And up until just these last 2 years, you haven't seen shows that really reflect the demographics of our country. And what they're finding is when they put on Empire, which is a huge hit, Blackish, which is a huge hit, Fresh Off the Boat just premiered this week.
This is an Asian family coming into the USA.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a 30-minute comedy mm-hmm. of an all-Asian family coming to the USA and sort of dealing with what it's like to be an immigrant family. And all these shows, Cristela, as well as Jane the Virgin on CW, mm-hmm. they're all doing very well. They've all been renewed. So there's sort of this new formula for success on network TV, and a lot of it has to do not only with predominantly minority casts, but also being that are shows that are created by and directed by minorities.
Cecilia, what are the numbers on Empire? How's it doing?
Empire's doing great, and Empire just this last Wednesday drew 11.5 million viewers. It's had an average rating of 5.3, which is quite high. And what's unusual, Tom, about Empire's rollout of its episodes is that it draws a bigger audience with each episode, which is quite unusual for a new show. What typically happens is the premiere is big, and then it sort of plateaus or even trails off the audience. So there's something going on. There's a machinery. They're really good on social media. This show, the program, the actors, the writers, they're
tweeting all the time. Here's what's up. Here's what's going on. Yeah.
Huge audiences. They put out GIFs. They do all these things that are really hot, and they're helping generate this buzz that's become more than buzz. It's a very loud buzz right now around the show.
It's got the appeal of all the bling that goes with hip-hop. They put this show and this family in the middle of a whole lot of money. Here's Terrence Howard again as Lucius Lyons talking about the music industry taking it all public.
The internet has destroyed the musician's ability to make money because our work is downloaded for free online. And now it's impossible for the disenfranchised kids growing up in the projects to overcome poverty the way that I did. We are going to change all of that. I am proud to announce that Empire Entertainment has filed to become a publicly traded company on the New York Stock Exchange.
Renee Graham, the Huxtables did all right. Empire's another level entirely. This is big money.
The Huxtables were upper middle class. Yes. We're talking billionaires. We're talking Oprah money here.
Yes.
You know, and that's part of the appeal. I mean, it's not just the fact that, you know, oh, yes, they're doing well. They're doing exceptionally well. You know, and that's the thing that the show really sorts of really pushes and advertises. The way the people live, the people they have contact with. You know, Michael makes a good point. Some of it does seem a bit of throwback. Some of it does seem a little MTV cribs.
It's hard to know. Is this supposed to be contemporary or 1990s?
It's completely supposed to be contemporary because you'll have characters talking about Drake and J. Cole and you know, and competing
right
against those people, Kendrick Lamar.
Yep.
You'll have Lucius talking about, you know, President Obama and having the White House on speed dial and calling Obama Barack in a really rather funny scene when Obama ends up hanging up on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea is that it's contemporary. It doesn't exist in a kind of vacuum. But, yeah, sometimes the visuals and sometimes the music can make you wonder exactly what era you're in. But the show is meant to be in 2015.
I got to touch that for just a minute. This billionaire black music mogul has a kind of casual relationship with the first African-American president here. He gets an invite from the president. Listen to his response.
The president is asking that you'll attend the China State Dinner.
Okay, tell Barack that, yes, but this is the last one for the next few months.
Tell Barack, don't bother me.
That's what I mean about this show. It's a soap opera, but where I think it really, and for that matter, so is a show like House of Cards.
Yeah.
The difference is I don't think that Empire takes itself nearly as seriously as House of Cards does. Empire seems to understand the fact that what it's doing is slightly absurd and a bit ridiculous, and it can be over the top because it's a soap opera, but it completely embraces that.
I don't know if we should still be doing this or not, but here it is with a nearly all-black cast. That is still not very common. Full hour, as Cecilia says. What do you make of this presentation? Should we do a sort of political analysis of whether this is a worthy and proper presentation of a black family in the year 2015, or is that all behind us now?
You know, I know there are people who are a bit twisted up about that. Oh, you know, look how they're representing black people and they're drug dealers and they're killers. And yeah. It's a soap opera, people. It's a TV show, you know. And I think that if you get too caught up in the idea of how it's representing black people, I just think it's one of those arguments that people need to stop having. I think it's like when there's some sort of terrorist bombing and everyone expects moderate Muslims to speak for everyone. I don't think the show is trying to represent all black people. I don't think that anyone should have to answer for what the show is doing. I think there are things the show does well. I think there are things that the show does in an absurd way. But that's the point. It's supposed to be entertainment.
Michael Arsenault, do you like it?
Well, I agree with Renee in that we need to stop sometimes placing so much burden on black people to represent all black people on TV shows and film and media in general. But my only complaint, and I've written about this, is that in terms of the homophobia on the show, I was recently on, because I wrote a recap the show, Janet Mock's So Popular, and the subject was like the homophobia that's portrayed on the show. And I was told, like, do not politicize the show. But my response was, I wouldn't politicize the show if Lee Daniels didn't politicize the show. Lee Daniels is the person who has done interviews and said that his show is exposing black homophobia. And you're not exposing anything that hasn't been discussed ad nauseum for several years now. And one problem I do have with the show, I do enjoy it because I love Taraji Henson. Cookie is everything
to me.
It's
amazing. And Michael, hold the thought right there at Cookie a few. We got a break coming up right in front of us. We'll explain the homophobia piece. One of the sons here. The father has trouble with it. Mother does not. We're talking about TV's new hit show, Empire. Michael Arsenault, please stand by. Renee Graham, Cecilia Kang, great to have you all. Listeners, you can join us. Are you hooked on this one? 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about TV's new hit show about a hip-hop dynasty. It's called Empire on Fox. Terrence Howard, Taraji Henson, asking, is this the Dallas, the Falcon Crest, the dynasty for the Jay-Z era? You can join us. 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Grabbing a pop culture moment here with pop culture critics Renee Graham and Michael Arsenault. Cecilia Kang joins us from Washington. She's with the Washington Post, covers the business of media and entertainment there. You can join us as well. Do you love the drama, the money, the music, the passions, the power plays? Do you see King Lear here, Shakespeare, or P. Diddy, Dr. Dre, Lil Kim, Suge Knight? 800-423-8255 is our number. All kinds of response online. It's very funny. Jesse says, I don't like hip-hop very much. I don't like Fox at all. So I'm surprised that I love this show. All caps. Can't get enough of Terrence Howard. Taraji Henson, she's pretty amazing. What Karen says, I don't see anything on regular TV worth the powder to blow it up. But this show is fun. I'm enjoying it for the pure guilty pleasure of a soap opera. Adam, not on board. Overhyped crap. It's like Dallas, but with much worse actors. He says, but it's black show, so black people must watch it. Calls it stunt programming at its worst. I don't know. Jesse says, Kerfuffle writes, hip-hop here is so bad, I wish he, I guess the Terrence Howard figure, had stuck with drugs. Oh, people are tough online. They're tough. They are tough online. 800-423-8255. Michael in Roxbury, Massachusetts. Great to have you, Michael. Thanks for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom. I take the position that, you know, you have to represent. You have to represent the community in a better way. I'm tired of seeing thuggery or coonery as the form of entertainment, but I understand it's art. It is expression. You know, it's getting all kind of hype, all kind of play. It's more of a criticism of Hollywood, you know, because I like to see more than just buffoonery and thuggery. But at least, you know, it's job creation. It's good. It's opening up the door. And hopefully when that door opens, there'll be more options that will come out of the mean machine.
And Michael, you say...
And coonery.
Yeah, Michael, you say buffoonery and thuggery. They say King Lear, Shakespeare. What about it?
Well, you know what? It makes me want to read King Lear and watch the next episode of Empire.
Okay.
But I'm still critical. I don't change my position.
Yeah. I appreciate your call, Michael. Renee, how about it? Come on. Say what you want. It may be entertaining, maybe soap opera, but it still represents, and Michael doesn't like this kind of representation of his community.
You know, when The Wire was on, and people called this one of the greatest TV shows in the history of TV shows, I don't remember a lot of complaints about the ways that blacks were being portrayed. I, frankly, did not care for The Wire. Exactly that reason.
Gasp.
You okay?
You can't say that.
You know, I had a lot of problems with that show. But, you know, I understand that you're allowed to show a range of characters. Now, I might have a problem with Empire if that was the only show on with black characters. But you've got Scandal, and you've got Blackish, and you've got How to Get Away with Murder. There's a range now of characters, so I think that there's more than enough room to have the characters of Empire.
Katie in Hilton Head, South Carolina. Katie, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hello. I just wanted to mention, I know your expert there was talking about never having an hour show with an almost all black cast on network television, but ABC Family did have Lincoln Heights several seasons ago. It was one of their first scripted series when they were relaunching the network.
Yeah.
And perhaps it was a little too earnest and heartfelt because it was about a police officer and his family. But they have been out there, and I think that's maybe my point, is that... maybe the show was too earnest and people didn't flock to it, and people kind of like the flashier, you know, hip-hoppy stuff rather than a maybe heartfelt, earnest show. That's what people want to watch, like you said, soap opera. But people have been doing it, and they have been out there. It's not the first one, is all I wanted to say.
Katie, we've got it. Michael Larson, I'm going to come to you on the sexuality piece. It's very interesting here. But Cecilia, just on the fact of its existence, our first caller here, Michael, says, you know, he doesn't like the representation, but he'll take it. It's jobs. It's a place in the Hollywood arena, even if it's not the place he would like. What about Katie's point? It's not so rare. It's not unprecedented. How big a deal is it to have this big black cast on this big hour-long show?
Well, it is a big deal in that this is such a big show in every sense, and not just the audience. It has everything. It has Timbaland, who's actually doing the music. They're actually selling the music on the side. They have a huge... presence on, again, social media. This is a big show in every sense, and it was intended to be, and Fox has poured a tremendous amount of resources into marketing it and making sure it becomes a success. So in that way, it is a big deal. I think it's also meant to be, as we talk about whether it's meant to be a real portrayal of the African-American community as well as, you know, the hip-hop community, or whether it's not, it's supposed to be a bit of both, of all of it. And in my conversations with one of the co-creators, Danny Strong, he said that he came up with the idea to blend together all these spectacular things that are really unrealistic and over the top, as well as real issues. And I know you're going to get to this, Tom, but like homophobia in the African-American community. That little clip that you played earlier about Lucius Lyon discussing the economic troubles of the music industry. These are real issues that the show is trying to dig into while also just being fun and being suspenseful and a little crazy and over the top. And the outfits are crazy. And, you know, who doesn't love, you know, Cookie's hats and her outfits all that stuff?
Awesome.
It's supposed to bring it all together to appeal to such a broad network audience.
I want to get to what's unrealistic here or not. I mean, the hip-hop world can be pretty over the top. But let's take on the issue of the gay son here, sexuality in Empire. Here's a little bit from a flashback. Lucius' ex-wife, Cookie. As the show begins, she's in prison. She got caught up in the sort of first money-making. Yes, drugs were involved that let this whole empire get started. She comes out, and man, does she have a lot of flair. But here she's flashing back, talking with her then-young son, Jamal, played later by Jussie Smollett, and reveals that she knows, even at his young age, that he's gay.
Listen to me. You different. Okay? It's only something Mama knows, but... it's gonna make life hard for you sometimes. But I want you to always remember I got you. You hear me? Come here. I got you.
It's not just later it makes his life hard. His father realizes that he's gay or suspects as much, storms out of what then is kind of a tenement apartment and slams him into a garbage can. It's pretty rough stuff later on. Jamal's grown. He's a musical genius. And nevertheless, Terrence Howard, Lucius, the character, sits him down and tells him why being gay is not an option in the hip-hop world.
Your sexuality? That's a choice, sir. You can choose to sleep with women if you want. I'm saying this to help you, because I know eventually you're going to release another album. And there's people out in this country that don't appreciate people like you.
I get it, because a sissy can't sell records to black community. I get it.
His mom, Cookie, just has more fun with it. She walks in on him and a lover. Well, here's the exchange.
Who is this?
Hi. Oh, Michael. Michael. We sort of living together. But, Mama, I know you're hungry.
Oh, honey, you didn't tell me you was dating a little Mexican. Look at her. She's adorable. Yeah, I say little Mexican.
Well, she's not a she, and I'm not so sure she's Mexican. Okay, Michael, help us with the representation of homophobia here in Empire and the defense in Cookie's Corner.
When I hear lines like that from Jamal, and I just think, fix it, Jesus, fix it, Beyonce, help me get through.
All the deities are called on here. What, because you think we're past that?
Well, I am perfectly fine with having a conversation about homophobia within the black community, although it needs to not come from this false place that black people are uniquely more homophobic than everybody else. That is not true. Even that line that you just played. Mm. It's 2015. Jay-Z has already lent his support to marriage equality. Bun B from UGK has. There have been A$AP Rocky, Kanye West, numerous rappers have spoken out against homophobia. Is there an issue within homophobia in hip-hop still? Yes. Is hypermasculinity an issue within hip-hop? Yes. However, in 2015, a gay singer, a gay black singer, can sell to the black community. If that were not the case, Frank Ocean would not be a star.
Yeah, and he is.
And even though maybe Luther Vandross was never completely out, he wasn't exactly what people would consider butch. And then there was Sylvester. Mm. And then, like, the black community, yes, we have our issues with homophobia, but so does every community. And I just wish black people would not further perpetuate this idea that we are so much worse than everyone else. In one respect, I applaud Jamal being on the show. It's nice to see a less hyper-feminized version of a gay black man on TV. Mm-hmm. Those men have a right to exist, but there should be balance. But I really hate this trope that black people keep pushing that we're just so much worse than everybody else. And then I wrote in my piece, you know, in terms of talking about black homophobia and its source, I mean, black people did not come on cruise ships clutching their Bible saying, I can't marry Frank Ocean one day. Like, it's just not honest. It's not true. It's just frustrating to watch.
It's an amazing picture, though, to bring to mind. Hey, Renee Graham, how about it? This is history, maybe even ancient history. Get over it. This is an old trope.
You know,
or not.
For all the comparisons people have made with Empire and King Lear, I think of it very much in terms of comparing it to The Sopranos. And The Sopranos in its later seasons had a prominent storyline about one of the mobsters who was gay.
Yeah.
And the way the other
struggling
mobsters reacted to that.
Yeah.
And how deeply homophobic they were.
Yeah.
And how really poorly it ends for him because he is gay. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily watch Empire and think that Lee Daniels and Danny Strong or making some terrible comment about only the black community being homophobic or the homophobia in the black community being out of control. I think because Lee Daniels, as an out gay man, black gay man, mm-hmm. is telling his truth. The scene where Lucius pushes his son into the garbage because he comes downstairs wearing his mother's shoes,
yeah.
Lee Daniels says that happened to him. That's what his father
did to him. Wow.
So I think he's entitled to tell his truth. I don't think people need to look at that and feel like, oh my God, this is the way everybody, you know, behaves in the black community. It's not the way my parents behaved when I came out. So, you know, I think that everyone is entitled to tell their story. And I think that's what Lee Daniels is trying to do. Now, are certain lines poured on a little thick? Sure. But it's a soap opera. And he's trying to make a bigger point. And I think it's an important point he's making.
Let me get Jackie in West Hartford, Connecticut. Jack, I'll come to you, Michael. Jackie, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I am a Middle Eastern American working mom, and I am a huge, huge fan of this show. It's one of my shows that I DVR, and I watch when I am able to escape with a glass of Chardonnay. That show, Shaws of Beverly Hills, and Nashville. And what I want to just bring out is as an Iranian-American, I really don't look at the Shahs of Beverly Hills and say, oh, my God, it's a reflection of me. It's a subset, and it's just escapism. I don't look at Nashville and say, oh, this is how all white people who live in Nashville behave.
Yeah.
And I look at Empire as a really well-written show with amazing costumes, amazing characters, and it allows me to enjoy my glass of wine and just escape.
Hey, but Jackie, if I may, I mean, I love that, but maybe that's because as an Iranian-American, you don't have the same baggage or history that African-Americans did. I mean, maybe you know, can understand how an African-American might watch it and be more critical of portrayal.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying my truth is when I watch Shahs of Beverly Hills,
yep.
I don't see it as
right.
the only portrayal of Iranian-Americans. I see it as a bunch of folks running around doing something that I can just giggle at.
No, that's interesting, and I love it. Jackie, I appreciate your call hanging kind of floating kind of free there. Cecilia Kang, we've all got immigrant families here. You've got fresh off the boat with the Asian background. Are we at the point now? I mean, you've got your own immigrant story, no doubt, in your family, where it doesn't matter exactly what the portrayal is. Things are free, and there's all kinds of portrayals out there. And now that's just some Asian people, or that's just some Middle Eastern people. That's just some black people. That doesn't necessarily reflect on me if I'm in that group.
I don't know if we're there yet, Dom. I mean, it's tough. It's, you know, the even watching Fresh Off the Boat this week premiere, I was rooting for it, and there are some things that I loved about it, and I thought some of the jokes felt a little bit tired and potentially falling into some of the tropes that I've heard, mm-hmm. but still really rooting for it because I want an all-Asian cast in a show that's about Asian Americans to make it and to resonate more broadly beyond Asian Americans. So I understand the sensitivity to it. And I think that one thing about Empire is that the storylines themselves are very specific to the show creators, and the show creators actually have a lot of control over what happens. And, you know, Renee and Michael talked about, how Lee Daniels, who himself is black and who is gay, mm-hmm. Is drawing storylines directly from his past. And the show creators are actually making decisions that may not be that popular and on purpose, just based on what they feel is important. And in my interview with Danny Strong, who is an Emmy-winning writer and, you know, who understands the business quite well, and mm-hmm. They did test audiences on the first episode where Jamal is shown kissing his partner.
Yep.
And the ratings, and they rate every sort of scene, and they sort of see what's popular or not. What happened was it was a very popular – there was getting really high ratings until that scene of Jamal kissing his partner, and the ratings indicator plummeted. And Danny was asked, you know, by some of his friends and colleagues, like, well, what are you going to do about that? And he said, well, why am I going to do anything about that? This is an important part of the storyline for us. And homophobia does exist everywhere. And homophobia exists in the African-American community as well as others. But I'm not going to take this away just because people are uncomfortable with watching two men kiss. And they very much are trying to push the buttons of their viewers in a way in that they like to go places that may be uncomfortable and that does spark debate and controversy, and clearly this storyline is.
Cecile, let me take that to Michael. Michael, what, Lee Daniels can't tell his truth in Empire?
Lee Daniels can tell his truth. I would never tell any artist not to incorporate aspects of their life into their art. We all do that. However, when assessing a collective issue and a broader group, your anecdotes do not apply to everyone else. And Lee Daniels is well within his right to say whatever he wants to say in his art. However, Lee Daniels has put himself in the position where he has made comments generalizing the black community. And as a gay black male who understands homophobia on a deeply personal level, I couldn't even tell my own mom about this appearance because that is still an area of contention for both of us. But I never take my experiences and say black people are this. And Lee Daniels himself has done this numerous times. In 2013, he did an interview where he told this story about going to a gay men's health center clinic and seeing mostly women there. And then he used that story to say gay black men are the down low phenomenon, which had already been disproven by the CDC years ago. Like, he's using his platform to spread falsehoods, and that's unfair.
Michael Arsenault, please stand by in New York City. Renee Graham, right here with me in the studio. Cecilia Kang in Washington, D.C. at The Washington Post. We're talking about TV's new hit show, Empire. Listeners, you can join us. Does this drama ring true? Does that matter? Can you get more outrageous than real life when it comes to hip-hop dynasties? 800-423-8255. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
We hope you are enjoying this podcast. As special thank you, Audible.com would like to offer you a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Audible has over 150,000 titles, fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers, every category imaginable. They also have tons of exclusive content you can't get anywhere else. Just go to audible.com/onpoint, choose a free book and listen. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/onpoint. That's audible.com/onpoint. Get started today.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about TV's new show about a hip-hop dynasty. It's called Empire on Fox with Terrence Howard and Taraji Henson. Asking, is this the Dallas, the dynasty for the Jay-Z era soap opera with a lot of great attitude, with a bite, with a beat? You can hear it right here behind me. Music from Empire. This is, adios. Renee Graham is with us, pop culture critic with me in the studio. Michael Arsenault joins us, pop culture critic and blogger out of New York City. Cecilia Kang is with us from the Washington Post, writes on the business of media and entertainment there. You can join us. What do you think of Empire? The story, the portrayal, the music. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Got a lot of response here. Mango Jam says, I could watch Cookie forever. She's so dynamic and enjoyable. Taraji Henson really brings a lot of style and flair, and woo, she is volatile. Ballfire says, so don't worry about black stereotyping, but do worry about homophobia. Kind of calling out on that. John Jay says, I thought this show would be too much at first, but it's not. Just enough. So good. Skunk says, making me glad I got rid of my TV years ago. We got everything here. Kelly says, from the Huxtables to the Hood, don't get it twisted. This is entertainment, not representative of all black folk. And Sharon, thanks, NPR, for discussing a show that's so popular among African Americans. So often what we blacks are talking about is not discussed. Too rare on NPR, she says. 800-423-8255. Hey, Renee, what about the music in this show?
Oh, the music, yeah. You know, here's the thing. You know, I'm not a big fan of a lot of contemporary hip-hop. I think it's very redundant. I think it's not nearly as interesting and creative as it used to be. That's what I think Empire reflects to a certain degree.
Well, let me see. You know? Deconstruct, and that is not a compliment.
Right. I mean, you know, but at the same time, it can sound very dated, you know? It's not trying to push things forward, especially given the fact that Timbaland is doing the music. Well, my expectations would be higher of Timbaland. But then again, maybe he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing for these artists. I mean, when I look at Hakeem, who's Lucius's youngest son, who's a rapper, you sort of look at that and say, yeah, that could be, you know, a rapper out there today. But again, a lot of it seems just east of cheesy to me.
Just east of cheesy. Michael, yes. What do you say on the music side?
No, I need lactate for that music. I actually like contemporary hip hop, and those songs are not it. Like, no, they're terrible. They're fun to laugh at, but they're not good at all. No.
Well, they're good enough that people are tuning in. Let's go to Grant in Springfield, Illinois. Grant, thanks for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was just noticing at the early promos, I'm a 54-year-old deadhead, so hip-hop's kind of beyond me. But I did notice the similarity to Lion and Winter.
The Lion and Winter. You're going all the way back to Eleanor of Aquitaine and the movie from the late 60s. Great movie.
Hopkins and Kate Hepburn.
Yes. A kind of a King Lear story.
It's kind of a King Lear thing, but it instead of daughters, it's sons. And one was gay.
Yeah, absolutely. We got high art here, folks. We've got Lion in Winter. We've got King Lear. Let's hear a little bit of that. Here's where Terrence Howard, as Lucius Lyon, is setting it up. Grant, thanks for your call from Springfield. Going public, and he tells the sons, one of you will be my successor.
Now, part of us going public means ensuring a legacy for this company, and right now, it seems none of you are prepared to take over after I'm gone. Now, it won't happen today, nor tomorrow. But I will start grooming someone soon. And it can only be one of you.
What is this? We King Lear now?
Call it what you want. But over the next several months,
wait,
I will make
wait,
a decision.
What are you saying? We're all in competition to be the future head of the company?
And there is the drama laid out right in front of us. Marquita in Dayton, Ohio. Marquita, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What do you think of this King Lear story?
Hello, thanks for having me on. Yep. I love the show. It is just a perfect amount of drama, and all the actors act so well, and it's a touch of reality added to it, and I just love it.
Does it make you think about the news of this last week in Suge Knight out in California, apparently driving his pickup over somebody, getting arrested? You know, I mean, does it look realistic in that hip-hop world way to you, Marquita?
Yes, it does. It's very real. And things like that have been happening since rap began and really since music began. There's always been an element of drama and suspense and, you know, a little bit of danger concerned in that area.
Yeah, Makita, I appreciate your call. Michael, I mean, how about it? We do have fresh headlines here. We got a lot of history here. The presentation of this hip-hop world is, you know, the gun comes out quick and life can be short and nasty.
I value my life. I don't want to say anything bad about Suge Knight because he manages to always get out of trouble. So I'm going to pass on the Suge Knight. But I will say, the show gets some things right in terms of, like, where hip-hop is now. But for the most part, I still feel like it's pretty dated. Like, and I really didn't know, like, going public was this, like, an exhausting task. But, sure. Because there's even one line where Andre says, corporate America might not be ready for hip hop. I'm like, really? Maybe like in 1984. Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, they've been in there for a while. Cecilia, that though gives it range. You get to pull out the gun and all the rest here. It's not just, should we have go to after this A flat?
Oh, sure. I mean, this show, the whole story idea is engineered in such a way where they have so many tools at their disposal to create drama and to reflect what's happening in reality and not. And can we just talk for a second, though, about the actors? Because I don't know if Empire would be quite the success that it is if it didn't have Taraji Henson and Terrence Howard. And actually, I think a lot of people thought that Terrence Howard would be the breakaway show stealer. But Taraji Henson in her own right, a very accomplished actress, Oscar nominated for her role in Benjamin Button. Mm-hmm. She has an enormous fan base, and it's grown tremendously in just these few weeks since the show's been on. And she herself has become this larger-than-life figure in the real world and really promoting the show. And talk to anybody, her range as a dramatic actress, as a comedian, in my conversations with Fox and the show creators, she actually ad-libs quite a bit on the show as well. A lot of the cookie-isms are truly Taraji-isms. The boo-boo, you know.
I was about to say, please tell me boo-boo kitty. Yeah. Is exactly.
It is. It is. That's a Taraji-ism. And I don't know.
She evoked Laverne and Shirley in that moment. It was brilliant.
Yes, a lot of these things. And I think they're letting her really explore her range. And she herself is known as being just very funny and extremely intelligent. So we're, you know, it'll be really interesting to see where Taraji takes and goes from here and where the show goes with her as a bigger part of it.
She has so much flair, Renee. What do you make of
it? It needs to be said, she's not stealing scenes. She's owning the show.
Yes.
You know, true. I mean, pure and simple. I can watch Cookie all night long.
Me too.
Every line out of her mouth is absolutely golden. And Taraji Henson looks like she is having the time of her life.
Throwing that shoe down the lobby.
I mean, everything, every interaction she has, she can she can out-act everyone in the room just by walking into the room. Yeah. She walks into a scene and she owns the scene. It's you know, and I think what's really interesting is, given what she's been doing, it's entirely possible, if the Emmys can figure out how to get it right, that next year you could have three black actresses nominated for Best Dramatic Actress. Because you would have Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah.
Kerry Washington for Scandal, and please, Taraji P. Henson, give her an Emmy. Give her all the Emmys for this role.
Get her right. She's got the brothers in the show on the run, Jamal and Hakeem in the show, played by Jussie Smollett and Brashear Gray. They're close, torn apart, when their mother, Cookie, played by Taraji, decides to work with one of them. Jamal, here's a scene they talk about what happens when their father finds out.
What's she going to do now? Dad don't want her around.
She's trying to manage my career.
What you tell her?
You think I told her? You know, ain't ready to release no album.
Yeah, well, if you do end up working with her and Pop's handling me, best believe they trying to make us kill each other.
Yeah, Johnny in Dothan, Alabama. Johnny, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom, and thanks for this topic. And my family and I send our prayers and thoughts out to you. We know what you're going through on both sides of our family. We lost family members due to the same situation that you and your wife has went through.
Well, Johnny, you're very kind. You are very kind, and I take your prayers. What do you think of the show, Johnny?
Well, I actually, and I'm calling from Alabama, and being a Memphis fan, my parents taught me when I left home, I represented them. I represented my neighborhood. I represented the community, and I also represented my race. So they wanted me to make sure when I left home, I represented the family and my race in a positive. I'm saying all that to say this. That show, to me, I give it a thumbs down. It really doesn't fly well with me and others. We have a book read club, and we took time out to watch the show, about 13 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we all felt the same way. I guess the demographics that I come from, you know, that was the old black and white television, and when we saw a black person on television, we say, "Wow, man, a black person!" So, and that black person portrayed himself right in a very positive.
Johnny, may I ask you? Because the premise on that front basically comes down to, you know, this narrative. These are African Americans. They're growing up in very tough circumstances. They're presented as not having a lot of options, and this is their way up. This is their way to grab the brass ring in this country. And so, by golly, they're going to do it. And that's kind of the hip hop narrative overall. You know, others have done it.
I understand that. I understand that well, but I just couldn't give that guy a pat on the back because he pushed dope on the corner. Yeah, he may have did well, and maybe he reached the promised land by taking that avenue, but I still can't give him an Oscar for that particular action.
Johnny, I hear it, and I appreciate your call very much, and all the rest. Thank you for calling. Michael, let me bring it to you. Johnny in Alabama, African-American, no thank you to this portrayal.
God bless him, but no. Like, my thing is, Renee already said it. There's a wide variety of images of black people in media now. You don't have to watch every single one. And I think black people have every right to be a mess, just like everyone else does. And honestly, I don't wake up every day thinking I need to uphold some image to essentially kind of make sure like white people and other groups don't look at black people as a whole a different way. I think at this point, like, I mean, our president is black, and certain people, ignorance, like, they still judge him a certain way. They're like, there's nothing, there comes a point where you have to realize there are certain things that you can't do to convince the ignorant people of your value. And I think this show, like, is messy, it's ridiculous, it's crazy. Just like other people get to have that luxury. Like, why do we have to be burdened with like trying to uphold some image? And honestly, that's something Bill Cosby was pushing for so long, and look where he is. Well, so, no thanks.
Ooh, fair point. Here's one of those kind of Sopranos moments, but here it's an African-American hip-hop terrain. Lucius Lyon, Terrence Howard, takes matters into his own hands after an old associate in Empire, Bunky, keeps asking for money, threatening his empire.
We've been friends since we were 14 years old. I never let anything come between friendship. Except a bullet.
Boom, bang, old buddy gone, body splashes in the water.
That was the first episode.
Yes, just to let you know. I don't think Johnny in Alabama is going to like that scene, Renee, but
this is
American television.
It's American television. It's not for everyone on any number of levels. That's fine. If you don't like the show, don't watch it. But again, I agree with exactly what Michael said. I don't think the show has to represent and be everything for every black person on earth. That's not the point of the show. And I just think that people need to stop getting caught up in that kind of thing and just either decide they like the show or they don't like the show. But the idea that it somehow has this great weight and power, you know, don't give it that. It's a soap opera, and it's entertaining. It does exactly what it's supposed to, which is entertain.
Maria in Lexington, Virginia. You're on, Maria.
Hi. Yes, I was hooked on the show right at the beginning when Cookie met her son.
She comes out of prison. She comes home. He's not exactly showing her respect.
That's right. And he called her a name, and she turned around and said, "What?" and took the broom and beat him down to the ground.
And he's a grown young man. Yeah, yeah. She wailed on him.
Yeah, she wailed on him. And I said, this is the first time I've seen that on TV where a parent disciplined her child for disrespecting her. And it was...
So they had you from the broom beating, Maria.
Yes, they did.
But, you know, in the NFL, you got guys being kicked out of the NFL for just about...
I know it, but I could see myself in that role. If my son turned around and called me that, I would have been on him.
Maria, go calmly through this life and encourage your son not to call you that in the first place. I don't know. Cecilia, you never know what's going to draw people in. They had Maria from the broom beating there, Cecilia.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of a throwback. I mean, I've got to say I had a little bit of that in my childhood, too. You know, I think one of the challenges for the show going forward is I think they need to develop more complexity of characters.
Mm-hmm.
In that right now, some of the characters are just not quite likable. They're not people you're really rooting for. I think that if you really have this King Lear construct, you really want to have your audience rooting for, you know, the sons, picking a horse, if you will. And going forward, I think you're going to have to see more. You're seeing this more with Jamal, where you're sort of like, oh, I feel so bad for him. And now, oh, that's sort of a nasty side of him. And wow, he's really stepping up to the plate. Another thing, you're seeing more complexity with him. Certainly with Cookie, you see complexity. You know, I've got to say with Lucius Lyon, I think, and when I talk to other people, this is just anecdotal, he's not particularly all that complex yet. So that, I think, will help the show lift it and keep the momentum going forward.
Kingler's got to have his facets. Renee Graham, opening up a better future, a bigger future, more opportunity for shows of color.
I certainly hope so. Certainly hope so. I mean, I think every time these shows do well, it makes the networks think, oh, my God, we should be doing the same thing. I think it's a good thing.
Well, here it's coming. It's come from Fox. Renee Graham, great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
Michael Arsenault in New York City. Michael, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Cecilia Kung at The Washington Post. Thanks, Cecilia.
Thank you.
We'll go out with a little more music from Empire. Thank you for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.